In New York yesterday, with great fanfare, a granite cornerstone was laid in Lower Manhattan for Freedom Tower. That skyscraper will be the symbolic focus of a new structure for the former World Trade Center site. The master plan for Ground Zero and the original concept are the work of architect Daniel Libeskind. For the final installation of Intersections, our series on artists and their inspirations, NPR's Brian Naylor spoke with Daniel Libeskind about his inspirations for rebuilding Ground Zero.
Daniel Libeskind has never gotten over the first time he viewed the skyline of New York City and the Statue of Liberty. It was 1959, and the 13-year-old Libeskind was with his family on the deck of a ship, like millions before them, immigrants in a new world. What Libeskind saw that morning left him awed and inspired.
This is an unforgettable sight, truly moving and truly leaving an indelible mark on one's perception of the world, not just on Manhattan. Because of the nature of the statue, that figure and what it means and how it turns as the boat, you know, goes up the Hudson, and how it points to the skyline of Manhattan and its power and its resolve to declare it a city of freedom, a city of opportunity, a city of liberty.
In February last year, Libeskind won the competition to design the master plan for Ground Zero, the 16-acre site where before September 11, 2001, the World Trade Center stood. His plan included a set of office buildings laid out in a spiral, the largest of them dubbed Freedom Tower. Though the original design for the building has been modified by architect David Childs, Libeskind's signature touch remains, a spire mirroring the Statue of Liberty.
The tallest tower, which stands at the apogee of the spiral, which really is like the torch of liberty, is a 76-foot high tower, which has an asymmetrical top to it, like the hand with the torch. And I think it will be a very moving, communicative space in the sky and on the streets.
Studio Daniel Libeskind is located in Lower Manhattan, a few short blocks from the World Trade Center site. Libeskind is no stranger to the area. His father worked for 35 years as a printer near Wall Street, and as a young architecture student at nearby Cooper Union, Libeskind watched as the World Trade Center towers were erected in the 60s.
We used to come to the site all the time because you could learn more about architecture and engineering, you know, in 20 minutes than you could in, 3 weeks of classes.
Libeskind says he didn't do a lot of research before entering the competition to rebuild the site. Mostly, he says, he read the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence and some iconic American and New York authors, Herman Melville and Walt Whitman.
I always love Whitman, and particularly his sort of paean and adoration of the working people of New York. And I thought, you know, we have such big stakeholders, you know, big moguls in real estate and, you know, powerful politicians and authorities like the Port Authority. But after all, you know, it's about the person going to work in a shop somewhere, somebody cleaning the street. That's what New York is about. It's about people who come here who have to find opportunities to work and better themselves.
Libeskind's own story is one of classic American immigrants. He was born in Poland in 1946. His parents fled the country 11 years later for Israel, and eventually they settled in the Bronx. He was very interested in music. His first instrument, an accordion.
I wanted to play the piano. I grew up in Poland after the war. We were Jewish. There was tremendous anti-Semitism in Poland after the war, ironically. And my parents were afraid to bring a piano to the courtyard. They said, you know, the neighbors are going to see us, hate us even more. The Jews are bringing in the piano. So they said, we'll get you a small piano that can be hidden in a suitcase and we can sneak it in through the courtyard fine. And, I thought it was a piano, and I played it seriously. I did. I played it. I was very short, and the instrument was very large. It was really a show, and, you know, all you could see is, you know, my head and my feet and a gigantic, you know, pair of, you know, sort of bellows in front.
Architecture, Libeskind says, is not unlike music. It's about harmony and proportions and communication. He calls architecture a musical entity, just like the city. Emotional, he says, evoking feelings, not just planning issues.
We don't remember the number of square feet and, you know, a number of transportation lines underneath the ground. It's about a living kind of echo and a kind of a sound also of the feeling and the vibrancy. And I've often thought how ironic that we associate architecture with the eyes, since our sense of balance is actually in the inner ear. And if we lose that, we fall down.
Libeskind's most famous finished work is the Jewish Museum in Berlin. It's typical of his designs, full of unexpected sharp angles, sculptures, really, of light and metal. Libeskind says architecture is no longer merely a neutral box.
I think we are out of the box, and we can explore space in much more expressive and cultivated ways. The way architects of the Renaissance did it, or the Baroque, or ancient architecture that we admire as models for civic buildings today.
Libeskind says what he's doing at Ground Zero in New York is a cultural response to the attacks of September 11th. More than anything else, Libeskind says the inspiration was an ideal.
I would say simply by seeing the site as a site that has to do with liberties, has to do with the fact that all men were created equal. That thought gave me the whole idea of the new community of buildings that stand around it. It's not just a memorial with some big buildings around it and some retail and some transportation and some streets, but it's a kind of a new composition that is very much related to the spirit of what New York is about.
New York is also about conflict and argument, and Libeskind has seen his share since winning the design competition a year and a half ago. There are an array of stakeholders in the project, powerful politicians, developers, victims' families, and other architects. Much of Libeskind's original design has been changed, some say watered down in recent months. Libeskind concedes his proposals have, as he puts it, evolved and been refined. But he says a master plan is not just some lines on paper, but about consensus, bringing people together, which can sometimes be a messy process, a lot like democracy itself. Brian Naylor, NPR News.
Images of Daniel Libeskind's designs are at npr.org. This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Renee Montaigne.
And I'm Steve Inskeep.